Welcome back to the Balancing Act podcast. I'm Andy Tempty. On the Balancing Act, we talk to business leaders and industry experts to explore the balancing acts we play in our professional lives and learn about the events that put rocket boosters behind their career success. Today, we have Jakeen Hulk and Brandon Lindsay joining us. Jakeen is the co-founder of Fourth Family Inc. and the former chief executive of Business for Good. Brandon is the chief partnership officer at Fourth Family Inc. and has held business development roles at LinkedIn, Kaplan, and City National Rockdale. We are going to be talking today about STEM education. Welcome to the show, Jakeen and Brandon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And good morning from Hawaii. Thanks for having us.
Yes, yes. You're in Honolulu today.
We are. Very happy to be here. Yeah, and be beautiful in area. With you for sure.
Yeah. So, Jakeen and Brandon, before we get started, I ask all of my guests this. If you could each spend a minute, maybe a little over 60 seconds, telling our listeners your individual stories, that'd be great. Jakeen, let's start with you.
Yeah. Thank you. Again, good morning. Thanks for having us. Like you said, Jakeen Hulk, born and raised in Albany, New York, come from a long history of people who've lived in New York six generations now and just really come from a community and a family of trailblazers and hardworking people, mostly blue collar law enforcement folks. So my commitment to community and others has always been instilled in me since then. I had the privilege to go to Morehouse College, where I was able to meet Brandon Lindsay and study finance and really find purpose through work and community and building out a platform where we can create success, not just independently of ourselves, but also for a greater mass of people. And so out of that has come a career path, which has taken me both private sector and community development. And one of those things is Fourth Family.
Awesome. Brandon?
Yeah. So thank you. Good to be here with you again, Andy. Brandon Lindsay. I was also born in Albany, New York, raised in Clifton Park. Went to Shenandoah High School, where then I also left upstate New York and moved to Atlanta and studied at Morehouse College, studied business and finance at Morehouse College. From there, I moved back to New York City and got into the whole finance world. So did the J.P. Morgan thing, did the Rockdale thing, and got into investments, but I really found my footing more so in relationship management, business development, which has taken me to great heights as well. I'm very happy to be joining Fourth Family very recently as the Chief Partnership Officer and really utilizing those skills I learned along the way to continue to build upon this great mission that we have together. So working with any type of company that's out there that's looking to better their community, we're always going to speak about community because we believe that it takes a community. Just utilizing my talents that I've learned along the way to continue to build out what we like to do here.
That's excellent. I looking at your backgrounds before the show, I did not make the connection to your finance training while you were both at Morehouse. So everybody on the call today is comes from a finance background, and for our listeners, we're going to be talking about STEM education today and growing STEM education. So, Jakeen, if you had to pick one event in your life that just put rocket boosters behind your career, what is that?
I always tell the kids that we work with, it's one of those things that was not as inspiring as other people. And it came at a point where, you know, I was in 11th grade and my guidance counselor had came to me and sat me down and said, hey, all these colleges that are recruiting you for football, guess what? I'm telling them that you can't make it because your grades suck. You're a great student, but you haven't really applied yourself. And he was like, all your teachers, specifically your math and science teachers, say you're one of the smartest kids in the school, but you do not apply yourself. And so I'm telling all these schools that you can't go. And I think between the time I left his office and the time I had the first conversation with someone in the locker room, I think that was the life-changing moment where I realized all these aspirations and dreams that I had that it, like I wanted to accomplish for myself quickly melted away, and I had to create a new reality for myself. And since that day, it's been all the way on the upward swing, self-motivating and self-inspiring to make sure that I can still win that Super Bowl title that I always wanted, just in a different world. And so that's really my most motivating rocket booster launch off.
Isn't it amazing? It's those, that one conversation, that one individual in your life that is not a major player in, you know, you probably didn't spend a lot of time with that individual, but it's just those, that one, the one or two sentences that just changes us. Brandon, how about you?
Yeah. I think a similar conversation. I was never told my grades sucked, but I think I knew it either way. I just don't think anyone wanted to tell me that my grades sucked. There's probably a ton of stories, but the one that comes to mind is maybe it was a conversation that you and I had had a while at Morehouse, and we spent a lot of time together. We worked together in other industries as well, especially during college. We worked in service industries and just having deep conversations with friends. And one of the conversations that we had had was about what we were going to do when we got out, because I think the mindset at my time was you're going to go to New York, you're going to do the finance thing. You're going to just, that's just the path that we tend to take. But we went and we had a conversation at a elementary school. We were speaking to some kids that were there just doing our, Morehouse is really big on community as well. So we had to do some type of community service. So in doing
not some kind, 200 hours of community service. That's not some kind.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it is. And it changed my life. The day that we were at the school at the time, we didn't know what to do with the kids, but we just went up and we were just engaging with them and seeing their eyes light up. And we kind of built forth family based upon that day, I would say. Mm-hmm. He took it on as a full-time project, but we just had the conversation of look how much joy we brought to these kids just by sharing the experiences that we've had from back home. We come from different backgrounds, so from different experiences, but what we do have in common is that these kids need to be inspired, and we were giving them inspiration simply by showing up. And that conversation that we and I had just really propelled me to say, hey, look, there's another way. It planted the seed of there's another way to do this and continue doing it no matter how you get there. So I think that was seed one, and now come full circle. We're back working together full time now.
Yeah. Look, guys, I'm on the record as being a huge supporter of creating alternative pathways into the world of work, especially as it relates to the fields of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, of which our shared passion for finance is part of that. So that's one of the goals of the show today. Joaquin, tell us about Forth Family. What's your 2-minute elevator pitch for the organization? And most specifically, what makes Forth Family different?
Sure. I'll start with the second part of the question, which really is the motivating, inspiring factor that I think we have with the kids, but also with our team and our volunteers. And that's really three things. Like the core deliverable of Forth Family is that we are working with kids to inspire them and motivate them to do the things that they intrinsically want to do and get better at. But we pull it out of them in things that are cool and relevant to them at the current moment. So for science and sports, how we merge those together is kids want to be better basketball players, right? They want to be better athletes. Well, how do I do that? And that's where we teach them different things between nutrition, scientific method, physics, biology, chemistry of food. We introduce them to these concepts in very digestible pieces so that they can use it for improvement and athletic improvement. But what ends up happening is now they're exposed to science in a way that they've never thought possible because there's an application to it that they can realize. And I think the challenge with education and the solution that we're delivering to that challenge is the fact that we are meeting kids where they're at. So in terms of what makes us different, it's truly our three core mantras that make us unique Everything we do, every program that we do, every activation we do, like here in Hawaii with Microsoft and the Polynesian Football Hall of Fame, is one, all of our programs are authentic, meaning we're not going to put a soccer player in front of a football player and force the soccer player to explain football technique and how they can use angles and data for player evaluation and player improvement. We're going to put a football player in front of them. Ideally, they're a retired professional athlete or active professional, an amateur or a college player. At minimum, you have a college player here. At best, you got an NFLer. And so that authenticity is crucial to in impacting the kids' interest in the things that we're saying. The second thing is it has to be genuine. So everybody that interacts with our program and on volunteer side, staff side, or program delivery side, they truly want to be there. They truly want to support these kids. They want to see them grow. They want to see them be successful. And then the last piece, the most important piece, it might be the first piece, which is it has to be cool. Because if it's not cool, no one's going to care. And right. The cool factor varies from clothes. It varies from, well, they have food, so that program is better. And, you know, everybody that's a part of the program, they're up to speed on lingo. They know what's hot, what's fun, what's cool at the moment. So we have that connection piece because we're meeting the kids where they're at. And so I think those three things on top of, you know, our ability to create true, genuine interest at an inception point where they are right now. And so sparking that curiosity and sparking that excitement in the kids is crucial to our success.
Many educators around the world could learn a lot from that 2-minute explanation, especially the focus on the experiential, meeting kids where they're at, especially males. I know that I got easily distracted when I was 10, 11, 12 years old. And, you know, boys are just rambunctious or full of energy. I just love how you're connecting sports and the STEM fields together. Before the show, Brandon and I were just chatting a little bit. You're there with you're there in Hawaii with the Boys and Girls Club. Brandon or Jaquin, can you talk about how you work with other organizations like the Boys and Girls Club to create a better result for everybody?
I'll let you take that one as well.
Yeah, I think for Fourth Family, our goal has never been to be a conglomerate of, you know, the people. And I think in the not-for-profit world or the third-party educator world, it's all brick and mortar. So be it, you know, after-school mentorship or tutorship, brick and mortar-based tutorship. If it's Boys and Girls Club, YMCA, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, all those things are, you know, nationally, internationally recognized organizations that are brick and mortar-based that, you know, allow community youth to congregate. The challenge with those organizations is typically their programming are really based on recreation. And if they do have someone who's inspired to do like a reading program or some kind of computer science program, that's kind of where you you get most of that educational experience. And so what we've come to realize in our travels over 12 years is that there is no one creating content and curriculum that moves at the pace of business and the pace of education. Because historically, everyone was getting educated at school. Now, everybody's getting educated here. And so how do you keep up with that? And so I think that's where Fourth Family gets its bread and butter. And so our goal, to answer the question fully, we see ourselves as a partner with all these organizations who are brick and mortar, who do, you know, have organizations of kids and groups of kids where we can come in and partner with those organizations to deploy our curriculum and content, either through activation style, which is what we're doing here. We come here, do a one-day clinic or a two-hour clinic, or we can do a week-long activation style clinic program, or we can do a whole year program. And our goal is truly to take our curriculum and content and spread it across the country and give it to organizations who say, hey, we want that STEM program. Prime example, Andy. Prior to COVID, we were traveling in California and we randomly had a good meeting with USC. That's where Brandon, we came out to California with us for All-Star Weekend with the NBA. And we had a meeting with USC and another youth-based organization in downtown LA. I forget the name. So basically this one community organization, because all of the public schools in downtown LA don't have varsity sports and they don't have gym. And so because of the shortfalls in the public school funding, this organization in downtown LA is like one of the only recreational sites for thousands of kids in downtown LA. Yeah. And so they approached us because they wanted to do more than recreation-based activities and programs. They wanted to implement a STEM-based solution. USC saw the partnership because what we also do, and we could get into a little bit later, is this is my GE research hat comes on. Most of their students and their science or STEM-based curriculum needed to have real implication or real life research methodology so that what they do just doesn't sit on shelves. It actually can impact community. It can impact society, right? That whole notion of most research just sits on shelves and collects dust. Make things that make the world better. And how do you get that kind of experience if you're not hands-on? So we became a vet. We are the potential vessel for, you know, in current schools, their science or engineering students can come to Fourth Family, volunteer with us, go into their local community and deploy a STEM curriculum that already exists that ties their research or potentially their principles of science into the community. And the community can digest it in a way that they can take it and make themselves better or improve their experience in the sport that they're playing. And so that whole engagement has happened many times over. It started with our STEM director, who at the time was just in his master's program, finished his master's program, got his PhD. Now he's a professor. And we've done that with four other PhDs. So we have a proven model of how we can partner with university, we can partner with community, and not be a sole brick and mortar organization. We can expand across the whole entire country and other countries for that matter with a built-in solution for success by engaging kids and communities, underserved or overserved, and inspiring them through STEM.
So smart, empowering others to take your system and your message forward. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back with Jacqueline Holk and Brandon Lindsay. Hi, I'm Andy Tempty. Over the past 35 years, I've learned a lot about business leadership and I'd like to share those lessons with you. Ask yourself, how do I create an effective, sustainable management operating system? How do I design smooth workflows to better serve the customer? How do I balance organizational trust with accountability? The Balanced Business describes the practical, step-by-step process you need to answer these questions. Order your copy today, wherever books are sold. And we're back with Jacqueline Holk and Brandon Lindsay from Fourth Family talking about the intersection between STEM education, sports, and at-risk youth. For the record, I'm on the Boys and Girls Club board here in La Crosse, Wisconsin. And what, Jacqueline, what you were talking about before the break was just so interesting. So if you're you know, if you're listening to this and you're involved in your local Boys and Girls Club or YMCA, and I know that you're looking at workforce development as one of your pillars in your organization. So what Brandon and Joaquin are doing in this kind of add-on programming would be fantastic. So we'll give you a way to connect to these gentlemen toward the end of the show. But as a current board member of a Boys and Girls Club, what you talked about, Joaquin, was really, really on point. Let's shift gears a little bit and tap into your joint experience in business development and relationship management. I just love you guys because you're finance professionals, but you've made the shift over to business development. Your backgrounds are super, super rich. So I like to run thought experiments. Suppose you have a cohort of high school students sitting in front of you right now who are trying to identify potential future career paths. One of the students raises their hand and says they want to get into business development and sales. What advice do you have for them to build a successful career in your chosen field of work?
Yeah, I'll take this. Yeah, I would say be inquisitive and be a sponge. You know, talk to people, have lots of conversations. Ask a lot of questions. The more that you learn, the more that you understand the world around you and the people that are around you, whether it's, you know, immediately around you or even branching out. If you're inquisitive and you're understanding and learning, you know, their thoughts and their ins and their outs and what they're interested in, I think that you really start to build meaningful relationships about what matters to them. But also you just start to get a better sense of what the world looks like outside of your own personal purview.
Yeah.
Understanding that now, everyone's going to be different. Everyone's ticks are going to be different. Everyone's ideas are going to be different. And having a good understanding, at least a good library of that information within yourself is going to be helpful for conversations along the way. I think my wife gets tired of me kind of going out and being out in public because I can now feel like I can relate to everybody. We always find common ground somewhere. But it makes it really easy to have that common ground because I've asked so many questions. I've learned so many things. And even if it's something that I haven't experienced myself, I can, by virtue, just have the experience through somebody else and through their lens and through their eyes, and then be able to articulate that to the next person I speak to that has that same commonality. So I would say just be inquisitive, try things. Don't be afraid to fail, especially if you're young. I would say fail fast and just go out there. The world is open. The world is open for you, and use it.
Yeah. So, Joaquin, one of the things that I love about this conversation is we're talking about STEM education, getting individuals that that come from challenging backgrounds into the STEM fields. But both of you have, you know, you started out in finance. Your CEO. Chief Relationship Officer, you've made several shifts in your career. It's a really important message. How do you talk to your fourth family students about the fact that you don't start a career and you just get stuck in engineering for your whole life, and that you can make career transitions and really should make career transitions?
Yeah. You know, for most of what we've done over the years is work with these kids in various backgrounds. And I would say for myself, I grew up single parent home, grew up on all the social services in a neighborhood at a time in the 90s that, you know, it was not safe to be in. Things that I had in my household allowed me a platform to be successful and still stay on track. But I knew a lot of people I grew up with who fell victim to their environment. And that's just the reality. And you fast forward to now, a lot of that hasn't changed in a lot of the communities that we do a lot of our programming in. We see it in the community that we just did here in Hawaii. And so we really try to focus a lot of our conversations on the most important thing to do is get started. And to Brandon's last comments, curiosity once you get started is equally as important. Because it's almost like a pyramid, right? You start off down here, it's so wide, you can be so inspired and interested by so many things. And as your career moves up, you can start to focus and hone in exactly what you are inspired by that, you know, gets that fire burning in your chest so that that's the thing that you want to do. That's what you go to. And that's kind of how we shift and shape some of these kids. And I think, Andy, to your earlier point about workforce development, and I also see it as economic development on the government side, we tend to spend way too much time working with populations who've been underserved when they become 18, 19, 25 years old. And so I like to say for us, why it's so important for the private sector and the government and the public sector to see what something like Fourth Family is doing is because we start our economic workforce development probably 10 to 15 years earlier. Our future workforce, our future leaders, our future executives are right now, they're in middle school. Mm-hmm. That same population that's in middle school today, 50% of the population are Black and Latino for the projected 2020-30 census. And right now, if we say half of our future workforce and half of our future populations that's in 20 years is going to be, Black and Latino, well, then we need to start galvanizing them with things that are going to inspire them to want to be interested and curious in the jobs and the tools that they need to be successful for the current and the future. So how we structure ourselves and our conversations with our kids is, we're going to inspire you, we're going to motivate you, but we're also going to expose you to these tools that will make you successful and then invest in their curiosity, because that's what didn't happen for me. Mm-hmm. I was lucky enough to have, you know, a grandparent who could afford a computer. So I had computers in my household since I was a child, but I lived in a neighborhood where I was probably the only person with a computer with internet in my whole entire neighborhood. And I went to a school where I knew how to use my computer and the internet better than the computer teacher. And I always like to say, imagine if I learned how to code back then, where would I be today? And the reality is, in that same neighborhood and in many neighborhoods across our, you know, our great nation and other countries, they still don't know how to code. And some of them still don't have quality internet. And these are the same populations that are going to be 50% or more of the workforce and population of our country. So for me, the things that we do at Fourth Family, we package it up for, you know, it feels good, it is good, it does impact. But the reality is, we're not doing this work here. It's almost, in my personal opinion, national security. If we have half our population being bypassed the industry that they can't participate in. And so that is the position that Fourth Family takes with the kids that we work with.
Yeah, it's the exposure, exposure. And again, that brings all that curiosity. If they don't know that it's there, they're not going to ask the questions, but it has to go both ways, right? There has to be it's our jobs now to let them know that it's there. It's their job to ask the questions, to figure out what their pyramid is going to look like and how they are going to find their pathway. So we're able to meet kids where they are, and any age group that they're in, but we want to make sure that we're starting and targeting as young as we possibly can to get them truly interested in an organic way so that they start to build out that curiosity and that we can be with them along the way throughout their careers.
And Andy, extend that point. The thing that's missing in the Fourth Family conversation as it relates to STEM is our social emotional program. So what creates opportunity for Fourth Family is that we have contracts just in New York where we're based. We're not based out of Hawaii, but in New York where we're based out of, we have right now we're in 8 schools with before school, during school, and after school programming. And we're expanding into a charter school network and the KIPP charter school network in Albany, New York, where we're going to almost double our capacity and the kids that we're serving directly on an annual basis. which doesn't include all of our STEM programming, which is a whole other vertical of what we do. And so the way I like to explain how we approach STEM is like building a house. And the first thing you do when you build a house, it's a trick rhetorical question. I won't ask, but I'll give you the answer. Is you have to excavate, right? And when you excavate, you're getting rid of all of the weeds, you're getting rid of the trees, the bricks, all the stuff that's in the ground. And basically what that is for Fourth Family is you're building relationships, right? We're getting the kids, and to use a sports analogy, once we build that relationship with the kids, they're going to be willing and able to run through a brick wall for coach. And they do it for all of our mentors and our tutors in Fourth Family. Mm-hmm. Because once you have that commitment from them, there's a trust that happens that they will trust you to guide them to success. And so basically we do that, you know, clearing the weeds. Then we start to understand their dynamics through social and emotional understanding of where those kids are. And that is the whole sentiment of meeting them where they're at. Some of our kids are homeless. Some of our kids are in complete impoverished positions and beyond. From there, we build their confidence up by giving them these exposures to STEM. We can start introducing to the more in-depth STEM topics, because currently right now, and I think the challenge with math, science, and STEM overall, regardless if it's K through 12 education in school or if it's third-party tutoring and mentorship, is that there's a perception that these kids are already interested in STEM. And so when you have a robotics program, the kid going to the robotics program is already interested in science and robotics. The kids that start at Fourth Family, they're interested in none of it. And we graduate them through confidence to be interested in robotics. So Fourth Family's goal is not to take out the robotics program. It's to gauge their curiosity and invest in that curiosity to get them on par with a pre-interested candidate in a math program, a coding program, or a robotics program. So we see ourselves as the feeder program into those different programs. Yeah. And so regardless if that's, you know, STEM behind sports, STEM behind music, STEM behind the arts, we are the feeder system into those things. And so, again, the house, the roof is STEM. And most of these, you know, K through 12 programs or school programs, curriculum starts with the roof. But you can't build a house with the roof first. Because if you do, it's you have a teepee. It's not a house. And it's going to blow away.
Yeah. Yeah. No, those are great, great analogies. Thank you, Joaquin. We're almost out of time here, but just a little bit of fun. Brandon, let's start with you here. I like to ask the time machine question. Brandon, if you had access to a time machine and could send a message to an earlier version of yourself, what's the message and what earlier version do you send it to?
Ooh, that's a great one. I think I'm going to steal Joaquin's answer before he gets a chance to do it. I'm going to send the message of learn to code. And I'm going to send it to myself at about 10, I would say. At about 10. I was really into computers. I'll just say video games and things of that nature. Right. And I think there was at one point a curiosity of how this thing worked. But I had an older brother as well who liked to take things apart. So me tinkering with things in terms of hardware was never my parents didn't like that so much because my brother broke so many other things. So learning the coding piece behind it probably would have been better for me. But again, that interest wasn't sparked up because it just that seed wasn't planted early enough for me to continue down that path. So I think that that'd be one thing that I would tell myself. And not only because of just one, having that knowledge. And I think it's awesome to have now. I've even taken some like light coding classes. But because so much of our world has gone technology based now. And I think that we thought it would do that. I think that's the trajectory we probably all could have seen. But we didn't know where it was going to go. And with the last couple of years with AI coming into play and all these different autonomous vehicles and robots truly becoming a real thing nowadays. Yeah. I just wish that, you know, I went down that path a little bit earlier on. So that's my answer. I would go with 10 and I would go with coding and I'd be a billionaire.
Joaquin, what about you?
I think it's the same age for me. I think as well, a little bit different spin. I would tell myself, I was really inspired by a lot of the science fiction movies, but one in particular that I wish I would have took more serious, and it sounds funny, but is Revenge of the Nerds. And because I was a too cool for school guy.
Yeah.
Right. And I just wish, you know, I didn't listen to everyone around me who only invested in my athleticism. And I wish I would have just pushed back on like my mom and said, you know what? I really want to do this. So I would tell myself, take that serious, right? Take school serious, you know, excel. Two, the things that you're interested in beyond sports, push for those, go find it. And three, I think is just stay the course and be patient.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Because I always knew I would be where I'm at. I didn't think it would take this long, but the patient piece, I think, is critical, especially coming from the environment that I came from. I wanted to escape that as fast as humanly possible. And along that, I missed so many opportunities for growth and for opportunity. And so those are the three things I would say at 10.
Awesome. Gentlemen, it has been an absolute pleasure to talk to you today. I know that our audience has learned from you and with you today. How can decision makers, leaders, the general public, how can they get in touch with you and work with you to push your mission forward?
Absolutely. Obviously, LinkedIn's a great place to reach out to me, myself or Joaquin, even Fourth Family's page. So follow us, Brandon Lindsay, Joaquin Hoke, Fourth Family Inc. We are available and always willing to have a conversation. I love it. I love speaking to people. I love learning new things about people. I love relationship building. That is truly my passion. And we love to connect with you. So please reach out to us. Love to talk.
The only thing I'll add to that is check us out on our website, fourthfamily.org. And for all those corporate nerds like myself and Brandon, we have decks for days. So if anybody wants to chat, we can send them some more information.
Well, gentlemen, again, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for your contributions. My name is Andy Tempe. This is the Balancing Act podcast. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Please like, subscribe, rate, and most importantly, share this public good with your friends, neighbors, and colleagues. We'll see you next time.